crackers to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, zips, sits. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of Binary Revolution Radio. I am your host, Stank Dog, with my co-host,
Dr. Mute,
in the house. Now, I know a lot of you may recognize our voice. You may have been listening to another show that we've been co-hosting with Dual Parallel, known as Radio Freak America, RFA. Mute and I have been co-hosting that with Dual Parallel for, I don't know, how long now?
Oh, close, not a year, maybe a year.
Yeah, it's been quite a while, been really fun doing it, and we still do it on occasion, actually quite frequently if we can, because it's still a great show and we enjoy doing it a lot. But there's so many other good co-hosts and a lot of other people with a lot of other views and different things that they bring to the table to talk about. So we kind of thought maybe it would be good for us to branch out and make an all-hacking show. So here we are, and we're going to bring to you hacking news, hacking information, a few rants, a few details that I think there's probably enough material to do a weekly hacking show, don't you think? You know, speaking of which, why don't we dive right in? As a matter of fact, you have been on a little couple-week adventure yourself, have you not?
I have been in an exploration of the multiple types of engineering at a camp in Notre Dame entitled Introduction to Engineering. And I thought it was extremely interesting, and I don't know how to put it. I thought it was just one of the best camps I've ever gone to in my life.
Well, how many camps have you gone to in your life?
Quite a few.
Mm. I've never been to camp one day in my entire life.
Amazing.
Of course, I lived on a 32-acre farm. There was no need to go to a camp.
There was camp.
It was constant camp. So what was going on at this engineering camp?
Basically, every day there were some speakers that would come and they would talk about their fields of engineering. You know, I was always there for those computer science ones. Well, the computer science one, they more mocked people than anything, but that's a moot point. They had electrical engineering, which I'm planning to go into. They had a computer science, a computer security one that was interesting. And then, well, also we had competitions. We had to build a robot out of Lego Mindstorms.
Ooh.
But not using Lego Mindstorms, proprietary software, used a different called Not Quite C, as in C, the programming language. And we also had to build bridges out of Kinex. This was fun, and the end, and chiefly the proudest moment of camp was the presentation.
Your presentation. So was this, it sounds like some kind of ghetto-ass battle bots, is that what you were...
The robots?
Yeah.
No. The robots, basically, they had to interact with their environment somehow. Ours did not fall off the table and move ping pong balls off tables.
Without falling off?
Without falling off, exactly.
And how many people succeeded at that at the camp?
Not many.
Really?
I mean, we all had different topics. We all picked what we wanted to do, and we, like, there's different things. Like, some people had a robot move across some tiles and know what tile it was on, and then move something that picked it up and move it back, or something that never gets stuck in a corner, or, I mean, there's all types of things. So, they run the gamut. Last session... The teacher said that a robot that picked up ping pong balls and actually shot him into a hoop.
Hmm.
I mean, there's some skilled people out there.
So this was a general engineering engineering camp, and it talked about a lot of different forms, but especially you had a lot of fun with the presentation you gave, am I right?
Basically, the second week, he gave us a sheet. The sheet said you must present something using a PowerPoint, screw PowerPoint, presentation. One of these seven topics or eight topics, one of them is computer security. And I said, well, it says about, like, please talk about computer security and privacy issues. And I'm like, this is going to be boring. So basically I'm like, well, wait a minute. Let's hack our own computer. Let's show the people what it's really about. So I tell the camp director, he says, that's fine.
He said that's fine?
He said that was fine.
Wow, right off the bat, no arguing, no...
No massaging, no nothing. He's like, do it. Basically, I mean, he said, hey, come on, we can do this, it'll be good. He's like, fine. He's like, that's cool with me. So we went about, I had just, as luck would have it, a old ghetto machine, and we installed Red Hat 7.3 on it, found the Sendmail local exploit, came with the scenario, we ran it in class, successfully rooted the box and defaced the website. Might I add, second time I've defaced a website my entire life.
Well, it was your own, or?
It was my own box.
Yeah, you defaced the website on your own box.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but we kind of pulled a fast one on people because the original website that we put up was a copy of the Notre Dame Information Technologies website.
So the students were probably did you let in the instructor that it was a copy, or did he think that
some kids, they were like, "What? Wait, what'd you do?" The instructor knew.
Oh, okay. So the instructor wasn't shitting bricks,
There's
but the students
people there were shitting their pants.
Yeah.
Everyone pretty much understood what was going on.
Right.
But it was kind of funny to see these people kind of squirm for a second.
Right, right. Now, didn't you have some interesting conversations, too, with the computer security director there or something like that?
Well, the guy, his name's Kurt Freeland. He's actually written a book, The Complete System Administrator, I believe. And I haven't read it yet. I hear it's a great book, and it's actually been recommended by a lot of high-level Unix guys as being a better book than some of the other books out there. And he came off as kind of mean, or not mean, or not kind of second, condescending to hackers, and not really saying what it's all about. When I was just talking to him in general, and he's a really nice guy, and he's really trying to push. He's actually trying to push Notre Dame to have a Bachelor's in Science and System Administration, which would be a great degree to have.
They don't have any bachelor's in science. Do they have any computer degrees that are science?
They have computer science. I mean, they have all that stuff. But they don't have, a new one that's coming about in the college in general is a system administration degree.
Ah, I see.
And recently, I forgot he said what college, but there was two PhDs awarded for system administration. So he's using that as a stepping stone to push for something in Notre Dame.
Now, do you know if the PhDs, though, are coming from the College of Engineering, Science and Engineering, or are they coming, like a lot of times I see that it's offered through the College of Business?
I don't know, but I know that there have been at least two that have come through a different school.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. But he's a nice guy. They actually play Capture the Flag in their assistant administration class.
Well, that sounds like a fun class.
The kids set up their boxes. They learn how to secure them. They learn the insecurities, and he gives them some time, and they go out of each other's boxes.
Hmm. I see a lot of people do that on the net for free, but yeah, you can get college credit for it if you go to...
Something like college credit and hacking someone else's box.
Yeah, hey, that's a dream come true, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And then maybe you can get a job in the real world getting paid for hacking.
Hey.
Man, doesn't get much better than that. So, you are back home now?
I am safe and sound.
Adventure over?
Hometown.
No arrests that we are aware of?
No outstanding warrants, no convictions. I am a free man.
All right. Well, I wish I had a good story to start off with what happened to me this week, but this past week myself, I was out searching on the net trying to find some other internet radio shows, doing a little research, doing a little listening to see what else is out there, see if there's any good information, see if there's any other places that might host radio, etc. And I stumbled across this internet radio show. It's a radio show called Web Talk Radio, and it's located at www.webtalkguys.com, which ironically is hosted by Rob and Dana Greenlee, which is not a guy, but hey, whatever works for them. And I, you know, I scanned through some of their episode summaries, like we have the episode summaries up at RFA and on binrev.com soon. And I saw they had an episode that was about the HoneyNet project, and it was an interview with Lance Spitzner, who is one of the people that works on the HoneyNet project. He's also Sun Microsystems Senior Security Architect. This was on the 5/24/2003 episode, so it's very recent. And I don't really know a good word to describe it, but I don't know if I should say insulting. I think disturbing is probably a better word to describe it, but I listened to the show, and there's just a clip here, and you can go to the address I mentioned earlier and listen to the whole thing if you think that I possibly took this out of context, for I did not. But I'm going to play this clip for you, which I have permission to do, and I want to see what you all think about it. So listen up for just a second. We're going to go to a clip from interview with Lance Spitzner from Rob and Dana Greenlee on Web Talk Radio.
Why are they doing this, though? I mean, don't these people have jobs? Don't they have lives themselves, or do they just sit around?
Well, it's very interesting, and that's one of the things we've learned because of these HoneyNets. We see what these guys do afterwards so we can monitor the motives. There's a misconception that people think that a lot of these attackers are misguided youths out exploring the Internet.
Yeah.
The reality is that the vast majority of these individuals are criminal intent. In other words, they're out to make money. We see a lot of times people hacking into systems and scanning for stolen credit cards, or they're launching attacks against other organizations and potentially getting paid for it, or they're dealing in stolen music, videos, licensed software, such things called Whereas. So people scanning or scouring the Internet for email addresses to build databases of stolen email addresses to sell to spammers, stolen PayPal accounts, stolen eBay accounts. There's just a tremendous amount of criminal activity going on.
Okay, so it's really a malicious type of an environment.
Extremely hostile.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mute, what did you think of that big tool?
That was total bullshit.
Is it? Do you think it's true that all hackers are malicious, or the majority, as he puts it?
Hey, you know, I mean, I just love to just do Whereas, and I mean, I just love to steal credit card numbers. It's like a pastime for me, like collecting baseball cards.
What the fuck is a Juarez? Whereas? I hate, this guy can't even pronounce the term. I mean, it's wares. What's so hard about I hate it when people say Juarez, Whereas. It just shows that the guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, first of all. Second of all, what does that necessarily have to do with hacking? You know, I don't get the connection there. Am I missing something?
I just think you're missing the point that he's just a stupid ass.
Yeah, but this is the senior security architect for Sun Microsystems. I mean, he can't be a total tool.
Hey, you never know.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's just, you know, I said, I don't know if I should say insulting or disturbing to describe that, but, I mean, where does he get off making a claim like that? I mean, he's basing this on his findings from the HoneyNet project, I guess? I mean, does that really...
That's not a good record of anything.
I can give him the benefit of the doubt that, you know, based on the HoneyNet project, he may see a higher percentage trying to do that stuff, but that's not fair. That's just judging the entire population of hackers of the people he actually sees on the HoneyNets.
You know what? That's also maybe the stupider end.
Yeah, well, the ones that are, that may be a bunch of script kiddies that are out there trying to apply stuff that they've read somewhere.
I just probably defamed myself by saying stupider, but it's true because a lot of these guys are just going to go after, oh, look, there's an open computer. Let's not really bother what's going on. Those are the people that are going to be looking for credit cards, not the higher-up people. They're just going for a machine.
Look at the potential audience. You have to – he's got a bias in this – I'm assuming his audience or his pool of information he's drawing from is the results from the HoneyNet project. Well, that's biased against people – that's only including people who are actually looking to get into and attack a computer. I mean, he set – up these targets and wants people, you know, he's alluring people in. Well, the type of people you lure in is not necessarily reflective of the entire population and the entire community. Guess what? I didn't go into his fucking honey net project or honey pot. So where's my variable come in? I would lower that so it won't look like, you know, that all of us are malicious trying to steal credit card numbers. I didn't do it. Does his opinion reflect the fact that me and you and all the other hackers in the world who don't do anything malicious, does his statistic or his concept that he have account for us?
Nope.
He's only looking at that limited thing that he has in there. That's like I don't know, a prisoner, some prison guard saying that, all of our crimes are committed by this type of person. Well, yeah, you just happen to have 3 of them in jail, but what about the 3 million of them that are out there earning a living, you know? How are you just going to judge it on the 3 that you captured? I mean, it doesn't even matter what. I mean, but that's a good comparison. You're judging on the ones that you caught and the ones that you found, not on the total population. You have population innate, you have bias innate in your population, I should say. And that's just... You know, I would have expected more from a senior security person. I mean, that's just, I don't know if it's because he wants to be on a radio show and wants to be kind of get some kind of fame or something like that, but, well, I guess you know that I, of course, have to give him the Fuck Nut of the Month award for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You saw that coming. I mean, come on, this guy doesn't even, I really think, and this, of course, is my opinion, I really think he knew. He knew better. I think he just said it because people want to hear. People want to hear stories about all the evil hackers, and they want to steal credit card numbers and Juarez, and which are completely unrelated. But I think he just wanted to say what he said, what he thinks they wanted to hear. That's the only thing I can think of. If that's not, you know, if that's not the case, if he truly believes this, then he's beyond fucknut. You know, he's just. I don't know. I think he's just a bit of a sellout, and he wants to get some kind of fame and wants to be able to publish papers and make money as a... Oh, he knows all about hackers. He was on radio show, and he wrote books, and he wrote... You know, he's co-authored books. He's co-authored a lot of research papers, all of them along the same vein. So, you know, he's one of those people that's making fame by defaming the world of hackers.
Fuck.
Yeah. Well, so that was my week. I've pretty much been pissed ever since I heard that clip, and... I had to share it with everybody listening, and
this is stinks group therapy.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I've gotten better that I don't, like, start yelling and get all pissed off about it. I mean, I just heard it, and it's, instead of getting mad, I was kind of like, my jaw dropped, is like, what in the hell is this guy thinking? In his process of trying to make a name for himself and, you know, be this big authority, oh, I've been on radio and I've published this, all he did to me, of course, and I think to a lot of other intelligent people out there, is he just made an ass of himself. He just proved that, in actuality, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know how to research this, and he doesn't know anything about how the mind of a hacker works. He doesn't understand it, and he doesn't get it, and he's making presumptions. And, you know, we need less of that. That's what hurts the name of hackers. That's what hurts the community, is stuff like that.
The problem with... the people that get famous, like this honeypot guy, he's famous because he does this, and pretty soon you get pushed to a certain direction, and if you don't follow that, if you don't follow what the people want, no one's going to pay attention to you.
Yeah, he's getting his fame by defaming us, you know, and that's a shame. Well, let's go from the Fuck Nut of the Month, let's go from that type of journalism to what I consider a journalist with some integrity. How about that? This is an article that I read recently that actually was from the opposite and made me feel better about people and reporters, that there are some people who know what they're talking about out there. This was a report that, and I'll read a bit of it here, it's very short. It says, U.S. law enforcement officers arrested 50 suspects in an effort to combat the fastest growing online crime that now accounts for more than half of all fraud complaints. It's a variety of crimes. I'm going to paraphrase some of this, from setting up fake banking websites to collect account numbers of unsuspecting customers to, oh, I love this, is a great word, surreptitiously. Did I say that good? Surreptitiously. Did I say that well, I should say? Yeah, we're not trying to win any grammar awards on this show, are we?
Hey.
Surreptitiously taping and selling unreleased movies. Juarez. Maybe he was combining with Lance Spitzner up there. Many of the cases involved advertising goods or services that did not exist. Defendants allegedly sold computers, video game consoles, Beanie Babies, and other items through email or online auctions, but never delivered them, while others allegedly sold counterfeit software and watches. So, looking back at this, 50 suspects, online crime, the arrested, collect the unsuspect, let's see, defendants. Every term used in here was properly used. No point in this whole thing. I mean, reading through this, this is the typical story where you see the word hacker thrown three or four times. It could have very easily said, law enforcement officers arrest 50 computer hackers in an effort to combat the fastest growing online blah, blah, blah. That's the way people like, well, maybe Lance Spitzner, I don't know, and a lot of other people would report that. They throw that word computer hacker in there, and that scares people. Oh, hackers, online crime, they tie all that together. Hackers are stealing your credit card and delivering fake merchandise. Well, this one did not use the word hacker. So sometimes it's not what is said, it's not what is in the article, it's what is not said. So, you know, I went from one extreme to another, and it, you know, I do that a lot. A lot of people post where they get upset that the word hacker is defamed, or the hacking community gets such a bad rep, and people are posting these articles about how everybody says evil hackers. And I even opened the show with my story of my, what happened this week. And I turn around, and I find a good report, and I want to make sure that I put this on the radio. The author of this article was Andy Sullivan. And I want to give credit that there are good people out there who are reporting fairly, unbiased, and not sensationalized journalism. They're out there telling the truth, reporting it fairly, and, you know, that's the kind of people that we need more of. I'm working, hopefully, with Digital Rights, the Digital Rights Foundation, digitalrights.org. I'd like to put together a list of writers, a list of politicians, a list of general media, general information on people who do and are honest about the news and honest about their stances on things, and make a list of people that we can and should support, as opposed to and a list of possibly of people that are fucknuts. I need a page dedicated to the fucknut of the month. Maybe somebody should write that up for us, and we could go through that every month. But I'd like to have a list of all these people, like Andy Sullivan, who go out there and report the news the way it is without causing harm or cost to the reputation of someone else. So, you know, this guy gets that hackers are not thieves and vice versa. So I think that's a pretty good thing. How about you?
Hey, I would support that completely. We need a, what would you call it, new party, a pro-honesty or a pro-information party. You know, they say the pro, the cons. We need senators, we need those people that are going to pay, they're going to listen to us, first of all. Because almost no one does.
Yeah.
They're the evil. They're the bad bunch of the picking. We can't talk to them. No, the people that will are listening to us and understand that we're just normal people that have our own problems.
Yeah, and we're a relatively small group. We're a special interest group. The only way a special interest group can get anything done in the United States government is to go lobby and slip some money in, and you know, have those laws passed the wrong way. And you know, we don't have a loud enough voice. We don't have a loud enough platform to get issues changed, unfortunately. And without going into some detail, I do know of a movement, hopefully, that's still underway that will be started soon to change that. But the reality is, you know, we carry a very small voice. And until we, you know, again, and it's because we have that negative connotation of what a hacker is. So we have to overcome that. And until we do, I mean, let's say we made the hacker party. Well, people not knowing anything about what the party stands for or our platforms, what do you automatically, you know what they're going to assume when they hear the hacker party? They're never, ever going to support something called the hacker party, you know? So, you know, and the other thing is parties to me really don't mean a whole lot. I hate the fact that we have a two-party system. I think it's sickening that people get into this mindset where they have to vote along party lines. Now, I understand that there are some differences in the parties and that you may align with one or the other in general, but I still make a distinction between individuals. It's not necessarily a party issue. It's an individual issue, and I'm going to vote for those individuals who I best agree with and I think best represent what this country is and should be, and mostly should be, because what it is going downhill. So, you know, people that vote along party lines, to me, is a kind of a sign of being a sheep, you know? Oh, well, I'm a Democrat, I have to vote for all Democrats. I'm a Republican, I have to vote for all Republicans. Oh, I'm a hacker, I have to vote for the hacker party. Even that's not, you know, necessarily a good thing. It's good that we would offer an option. But, yeah, I think that's a little bit, you know... But see, now we're going off into the politics, which is something we try not to do too much here, but, you know, it applies to this because politics drives public opinion. And the public opinion on hackers is exactly what we opened the show with, and we've got to overcome that somehow. And unfortunately, the political battlefield may just be the place to do it. It's just how do you get started with something like that, you know? Well, speaking of, let's segue away from that before we get too much on a political tangent. Let's go to an article called Hacking into the Mind of a Hacker.
Ooh.
From the Department of Redundancy Department.
The matrix within a matrix.
Yeah. You know, this is probably not the best source, but this came from, I stumbled across this on Microsoft Small Business Central. Their small technology, small business area, but I found it. Yeah, I found it a very interesting article actually, and I won't say bad or good, but interesting nonetheless. The author is Monty, and boy, I probably screw this up. Nbysk, Enbysk, Nbysk, Nbysk, something like that. And it's Hacking into the Mind of a Hacker. Ooh, that sounds, you know, that just sounds ominous. That sounds that pulled me in. The title pulls me in to see what he's going to talk about. But he actually has a very valid point in the very first line of this thing. It says, the first thing to know about computer hackers is that the term itself is a point of dispute.
Oh.
No.
Dude.
We just went through, you know, just a couple articles.
How did this get published?
Yeah, exactly on that topic of what is a hacker, what isn't a hacker, what's Juarez and cracker and all these different terms that people throw around, black hat, white hat, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's because, you know, the word hacker was taken away from us by the media, and some people take the approach of, let's make up a new term, or let's make up a new name, or new title, and disassociate ourselves from the word hacker, which has become negative. And then I, on the opposite hand, I think we should take the word hacker back. I'm not a cracker. I don't want to be called a cracker-ass cracker. That sounds like some Chris Rock. Cracker-ass cracker? I don't want to be that. I want the word hacker. I want to clear my name, so to speak. So, yeah, the term hackers is this point of dispute inside the community. He mentions in this article that, let's see, many people who hack into systems without criminal intent, without, Mr. Spitzner, you heard the word without criminal intent, proudly label themselves hackers. And I do. I proudly label myself hacker. They say they're good, and they say that there are good guys and bad guys should be called crackers or something else. Now, that I don't necessarily agree with, but I know some people feel that way. He had an email sent to him after one of his recent columns. He also wrote an article about virus writers, which I'm not going to go into on this one, but it was also interesting. He got an email from somebody after that article that says, "Hackers are not evil, malicious people out to damage computer systems and steal passwords. Hackers hate these kind of people." Well, I agree with that statement 100%. Mute, what do you think of that?
110% for me, man.
That's
gas.
Yeah, it's absolutely... Whoever wrote that email in, thank you. He didn't mention the name of who the email come from, but if somebody listening sent that, if you know, I wish I could give them credit and say thanks for standing up. Anytime you read an article or hear about negative things... That's what we really need to do. We really need to get off our dead asses and write in an email. You know, it actually got to this person. He read it and included it and did a follow-up analysis on and wrote this article about what is a hacker because he got feedback. Somebody's mind was changed. This person, at least it was opened if it wasn't changed. He at least opened his mind to the possibility and did some analysis on it. So whoever wrote that email, thank you very much. That's the kind of action we need. Anybody listening, Let that motivate you. If you see something out there, report on it. Write an email to them. Touch base with them. You hear a clip, like I played earlier, get the word out there. Let people hear what the hell is going on and show them what it's really all about. He goes on to say, others argue that hackers represent both good and bad guys, people who explore and test systems for a living or hobby, as well as those who break into systems to embarrass or rip off companies and people. Another reader had written into him, had written or had wrote? Grammar ain't being my strong point.
They're written.
Yeah. Just like in The Wizard of Oz, there can be good witches and bad witches. In the world of hacking, it goes the same way. Well, that's... I'm not sure what to think about that statement. How about you? Is there a good witch and a bad witch, the good hackers and the bad hackers?
There should be good and just good and give the bad ones a different name.
A different name, like Cracker? Do you support the separating...
Cracker, no, because that just is more of the same. We need an We need something, a wild card to label someone with. And you can't just keep piling them together. You'll come up with another, until you just got to give them another name like criminal.
Yeah, well, that's the most simple thing. I mean, somebody who breaks in and steals credit cards, that's a criminal. That's a thief. There's already a word for that. Why do we need to make up one? You know. I guess what they're alluding to here is, you know, they're saying the good witch and the bad witch. There's witches. But you can further define the good witch and bad witch. I guess, you know, that makes me think of when you define hackers as a white hat hacker or a black hat hacker. You know, you got the good guy hacker and the bad guy hacker, like you have the good witch and the bad witch. That's kind of an interesting metaphor, actually. I don't know if that's necessarily the way to go. You think we should further fragment the word hacker into black hat hacker and white hat hacker, or is that necessary?
No, it's just pointless.
And gray hat. You have people that fall in between. You know, frankly, I probably fall very much more in the gray hat area.
Well, I think a lot of people that we talk to do.
Yeah, and some of that is, of course, because you have no choice but to be gray hat, because the laws and the things that this country have done make everything illegal anymore. You know, being curious and interesting and researching has now become an illegal activity in the United States of America. That's sad. So, you know, being white hat is damn near impossible. Like, you know, you try to be, but yeah, again, you're like putting different colored hats on people. You know, you can't polish a turd. How about that statement?
Exactly.
I'll countrify you. You know, you can't start fragmenting and say, oh, well, some hackers are good, some hackers are bad. Yeah, maybe a new term. Is any of the listeners have any ideas or you know, something like that? You know, please email us letters@binrev.com and give us your suggestions. I like to hear, do you have a certain name? Do you think we should go with a new name? Should we stay with the black hat, white hat? Should we go, you know, we have the term hacksaw, which is kind of a more of a negative derogatory term, like a, you know, synonymous with script kitty, I guess you'd say. I don't know. I'd like to hear what people have to say. So write in and tell us what you think. Back to this article, he says, indeed, all hackers aren't criminals. Hey, I like that line. I want to see that line more often in articles and in media. Both good and bad share a common bond and form a highly caffeinated community where the lines get blurred. I like the word caffeinated. As much as Duel tries, he can't help but be caffeinated. He tries to drink the water and the uncaffeinated stuff, but yeah, caffeinated is a good choice. And I just mentioned, yeah, the lines are blurry. We are hackers. And we're sitting here, you know, debating what should we call ourselves or should we change anything. So, of course, the lines are gray. We can't even discuss it or define it ourselves. Well, actually, you know, what is a hacker? Let me just ask you a plain, flat-out, straightforward question. Not a whole thesis, not a whole report. A simple question, one person to another. What is a hacker?
Someone who figures out clever ways around things.
Things?
Or ideas.
Does it have to be computer problems?
No.
So, is there such thing as a... Maybe label somebody a computer hacker is different than just a general hacker.
Yes.
So you can be a hacker in real life, like, I don't know, you know, any...
A mechanic.
Yeah.
Goes into his car just to get that extra. I think actually, some other guy, I think James Shipley or whoever gave the same analogy. that gets out that extra 10%, 10 or 20 horses out of his car because he ripped apart the engine and put it all back together. That's a car hacker.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I've used the phrase car hacker before, and people kind of laugh, saying, you know, people think hacking is a computer-only thing. No, there are car hackers. You know, these people, like you said, they will tweak that car and figure out how it works. I know a little about cars, but not very much at all. But recently, I have been working on my car, trying to learn about it, trying to figure out how to do some things to soup up my car. And, you know, it's just the nature, you know, it's just the mindset. It's, well, inside the mind of a hacker, exactly what the article was titled. So, yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily limited to computers in my mind. I agree with you completely. It's somebody who wants to figure out how things work. Now, generally, yes, I have to say that's probably computers, but that's because computers are everywhere now. That's the new technology, and it's something that, you know, basically our generation grew up with, you know, from the ground up. You know, we started with the earliest computers that came out and have constantly evolved with them. So as they evolve, so do we. So yes, there is a kinship and a bond to computers, but if you have the true mind of a hacker and you can think outside of the lines and all these cliches, outside of the box, blah, 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 you know, it's a mindset. It's not necessarily a computer term to me. It really isn't. But that's really, trying to turn that mindset around is really pushing your luck. I don't know if you can push people away from associating hacking with computer. But yeah, you know what, I'm going to try to make it a point from now on to use hacker separately from computer hacker. I'm going to try to specify from now on. That's my goal. That's what I'm going to try to do. What about the word freak? Is a freak a hacker?
Freak is a phone hacker.
Exactly. But see, that's the tricky part. It's a phone hacker. Absolutely right. I agree with you 100%. But it's got a special word. A freak. A freak is considered a different type of hacker, but it is a hacker nonetheless. What kind of word are we going to give to, I don't know, criminal hackers or black hat hackers or whatever you want to call it? That's the difficulty. So, you know, again, write in if anybody has any ideas or if you've seen other terms out there that maybe we haven't mentioned. I guess the best option is the word cracker, but I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just don't like that word cracker. It sounds too close to hacker, I guess. But yeah, freak. What about a script kiddie? Technically, that's
stupid ass. That's all.
Yeah, that's synonymous with newbie hacker or lame hacker or something like that. But again, that's a term that's disassociated with the word hacker. You know, or lamer or where's puppy? That's one of my favorite terms I use a lot. You know, which is completely unrelated to. Well, I don't know. Is a where's puppy? Is a pirate? Is that completely different than a hacker, or is that also a subset?
That's the problem, because we always say, like, oh, it's bad to have weird stuff. But, I mean, okay, fine. They do bad things. They do break copyright stuff. But some of those guys that are pretty smart.
Absolutely. But do you think the majority of the pirates out there, do you think the majority of them are hackers who are developing? See, now here's why I don't like the word cracker. To me, when I use the word cracker, it's somebody who writes a crack for software.
Yeah.
When you write a crack to get around copy protection, or write a crack or a key generator or something like that, that's when I would use the term cracker. So to use that as a generic, you know, the guy breaks into a bank and steals credit cards or transfers funds, you call him a cracker? No. You call him a hacker? No. I don't really think there's an... I just say start calling it like it is and call him a thief. Call him a criminal. That's what he is. Just the fact that he used a computer as a tool, you know. It's like, you know, if he comes in and robs a bank with a gun, you know, he's still a thief or a criminal. If he comes in with a knife, you don't call him a knifer. Oh, the bank was robbed by a knifer today. Yesterday it was robbed by a gunner. Tomorrow it's going to be robbed by a nunchucker. You know, you don't label it based on the tool. So, you know, to say it was a computer hacker, I don't know, it just doesn't seem to fit. Let's see. Let's go back to this. He says, I'm doing a lot of reading because I really found this an interesting article. I want people to follow along with this. Again, this I'm going to go back and tell you, this came from Microsoft Small Business Central. The author is Monty N. Bisk. If you want to go back and search and read the full text of this, I'm not going to read all of it. I just cut out some parts that I found interesting. He says that my purpose with this column is to explore the mindset of people who break into systems with malicious intent and then to offer suggestions on how to protect your own system. These people, predominantly males, well, I guess statistically that's correct, so I don't really have a problem with them saying that. Predominantly males represent serious threats to the safety of networks and users. Bob Sullivan, a veteran MSNBC.com reporter who's covered the hacker community for 5 years, refers to the threatening ones as computer criminals, attackers, or online thugs, something other than hacker to avoid confusion or controversy. I will follow his lead. That's all I ask. I think that's wonderful. I think that's great that he's doing that. He distinguishes a difference between hackers and thieves. He lists five things in this article, which I thought we could touch on. He labels it, he's got a chart basically, he labels important things to know about the bad guys. Now, I'll go on and read this. When he says the bad guys, he is now instead that when he refers to, he's not referring to hackers and he's separating hackers and thieves. So when he says bad guys, let's listen to how he goes ahead with that. Says, hackers in general and computer criminals in particular, so he does differentiate, love the power of control. For more, it's about the thrill of technology than active malice, says Richard Ford, a security expert and former chief technology officer for Synetic Ventures. It's a puzzle to solve, a game to play. For some, it's about money, although these seem to be few and far between, adds Simpson Garfinkel, not to be confused with Simon and Garfunkel, chief technology officer for Sandstorm Enterprises and author of several books on security. The bad guys want to control as many machines as possible. The majority are in it for fun. They attack the machines of their enemies and of companies, yet many who break in for fun graduate to breaking in for monetary gain. Well, up until that last sentence, I thought that was pretty straightforward. What did you think about some of the comments from these people?
Seems pretty decent, seems regular, you expect.
Are we in it for the power of control? Is it a control issue? Do we like having control and owning someone's site or owning it?
I go and be that learn.
That's the same with me. I'm curious. I want to find out how it works and why it works. And yeah, I guess maybe I cross the line sometimes and saying, hey, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, and try to do something. But it's again, because I'm trying. I want to see if it's possible, see if it's, you know. I find it really cool when I learn a lot about a system, and I go in and I go, ha-ha, they screwed this up. Watch what I can do. And it turns out to not work. That's actually a wonderful feeling to me because I'm thinking, wow, look what I can do. I'm going to go in, I'm going to write this script, and I'm going to fuck this whole system up. Oh, wait a minute. They thought about that. That's very cool. That's impressive to me. I've had software companies, and I've had software that I've bought or I've used at work where I think, you know, this doesn't look too good. Let me push its limits. Let me see if it's secure. Let me see what I can do with it. And it turns out to actually be smart enough to stop me and to stop hopefully a lot of others. So, you know, that's a very impressive when I see something like that. So it's fun of pushing it to see where those limits are and see where it stops, you know. What about this thing he says, for some it's about money? Have you ever made any money at hacking?
Maybe I want to bet. I doubt anything else other than that.
Yeah, me either. I mean, we're not getting paid for the show. We're not getting paid from the site. There's no advertising. I don't make money on the forums. I don't make money on... Well, actually, I guess we make a little bit of money on the magazine, but we reinvest it into the next issue of the magazine, so we don't make any money there. Maybe we ought to start selling advertising and make some money from hacking. That's what everybody else seems to be doing. Maybe we should break into banks.
Hey, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. That's my goal. That's why I became a hacker.
Hey, I bet, like, so many people were like, damn, I'm going to make some real money and go break into a bank and then go get arrested, man.
Yeah.
Get arrested together.
Do you think there's really people that are out there that say, okay, I have this 5-year plan. I'm going to spend 4 years studying hacking. I'm going to go out and hang out on the hacking sites. I'm going to read the magazines and I'm going to learn all I can so that in 4.5 years I'm going to break into the bank, I'm going to steal some money, and I'm going to move to, I don't know, Mexico somewhere and live happily ever after. You think the, I mean, am I naive? Do people really do that, do you think?
Just go out and you say, think? I'm going to go make $1 million and go heck. Yeah. I bet there's people that they're that stupid.
Yeah, there probably are. I mean, I'm sure there's some foundation of reality of this, but I don't know. I can't really fathom. Again, maybe it's because that's not what hacking is about. I can't relate to that, but I guess it must exist. There's probably somebody out there who thinks, you know what? I wonder if I bet a lot of people get pulled in through MP3s. Honestly, a lot of people see how cool it was and got onto the whole MP3 burning bandwagon and thought, oh wow, hackers figured this out. Hackers are cool. I'm going to learn how to be a hacker so I can make money and so I can do this and I can do that. I bet you that brought a lot of people in with that intent, but I would say that's a very, very small minority of hackers. I really think the majority of hackers agree with us, you know? Yeah, the last sentence he says here about, it says, many who break in for fun graduate to breaking in for monetary gain. As though that it starts off innocently, but later on it becomes more intense and you become, you know, turn to the dark side or something cliche like that. I mean, I don't know. I've been in the hacking scene for, gosh, as long as I can remember, you know, 15, 20 years now, and I haven't turned to the bad side yet, to the dark side yet. Hopefully I never will. I guess it's inevitable if I listen to this guy. Maybe I might as well go ahead and do it now. After we're done recording, you want to break into a bank?
Hey, dude, I am so up for that. Oh, especially, what was this? What did I hear about some stupid asses defacing some websites over the weekend?
Oh, God, we really don't want to go too much onto that. Yeah, there's a hacker's challenge, a defacer's challenge, I guess is a better term.
That's just pointless. Just back away from the next story.
Yeah, well, you know, actually, it is a funny story about that because all this was going to be recorded on Zone H, which is a famous, or I don't know if famous is a good word, but one of the only sites that stores defaced web pages, like a database of defaced web pages. And I guess other hackers that think like we do, that this is not a positive thing for the community and something that we want to happen, they went out there and they DOS'd, which I don't know if the method, you know, I don't know if that justifies that method to stop, you know, this negative. I don't know if it's worse than the original, but they DOS'd the Zone 8 site. So people weren't able to report and weren't able to have their defacements counted because the site was down through DOS. So I think it ended up turning out to be kind of a waste. I don't know. I guess we'll find out in the next few days whatever happened with that. But, people came in and said, we don't support this. Don't go out there and call this a, quote, hacking challenge. It's not. You know, you do not represent hackers. So those people that did that, I like it. I don't know if the method of attacking it with a DOS is the way to go, but I have to say that I kind of support it. But, yeah, that's... Well, we might talk about that next week, because let's see what news comes out of that, see what ends up happening. The sites were DOS'd, and who knows if anything really happened. And there was even some people, you know, I read a couple reports saying that it was all a hoax anyway, that there was really no organized method of attack, or organized, you know, it was just more like a thrown out to the media as a red herring, so to speak. So, yeah, let's see what happens with that next week. Number two on his list here, important things to know, says they cause the most damage with data theft and fraud. While technology is generally becoming more secure, breakdowns are continually exploited and the internet is ballooning so fast that online thugs have new opportunities every time they boot up. Now, he says again, online thugs. When he says that, he's not referring to hackers in general. He made the distinction earlier that he's referring to the bad hackers or thieves or whatever you want to call them. So that's not a jab at hacking. He's pointing that out as his opinion. I guess it's not a statement of fact, but his opinion. Do you think that generally the internet's becoming more secure? Technology in general is becoming more secure or less secure or the same?
It's all about the same.
You think? I think so too. I think it's exponentially growing, but I mean, yeah, for every secure package that comes out, there's an insecure one that goes along with it. Ironically, the most secure ones are probably the open source stuff, but we won't even go off on that tangent. That could be a whole show in and of itself. Number three on this list, many companies allow attackers to get away with it. The same FBI survey cited above found that only 34% of respondents reported computer breaches to authorities. Many cited fears of potential bad publicity. MSNBC's Sullivan illustrated just how attackers can take advantage of companies in a June story about his email interview with Zilterio. You ever heard of that person?
Nope.
Zilterio, a noted extortionist. Again, he did not put the word hacker, he put the word extortionist. I like that. Whose real identity is a mystery. Ooh. For more than a year, Zilterio has hacked into financial institutions and online businesses, stealing data and then demanding extortion payments. He claims nine firms have paid him $150,000 in, quote, quiet money. While it can't be verified, Zilterio is indeed sought by the FBI for extortion.
What the hell?
What do you think? Let's say... this is definitely going to be opinion, or you know, I guess we can't judge whether this is true or not, but if I owned a bank and I found out after the fact that somebody had hacked in and stolen money, would I report it? I'd report it. Would I be worried about people finding out or losing reputation because of it? I think if people found out you tried to hide it, that would destroy your reputation more than not. I mean, what do you think?
Hey, I mean, you're going to deface the website or you're going to do anything, man. You're going to probably one day pay the consequences of that.
Well, I don't know if, you know, he's saying that he goes in and hacks companies or finds the security holes or whatever and then sends a letter saying, wire me $20,000 or whatever to this offshore fund or I'm going to take your system down or I'm going to release... you know, this information about your customers. I think buy.com was affected by this. A couple other online sites were affected by this, and they immediately sent out a letter saying, hey, we have reason to believe our site was such and such. Please change your password. Rest assured, you know, this didn't happen or that did happen. I think I actually, even though it kind of sucks that they got hacked, I think the fact that they owned up to it is better than hiding it and me finding out, you know, later on that somebody may have that information. So, I don't know if that's really true. Do you think people pay quiet money? That's a good question.
I think most people say to keep it an inside. I mean, they might not be, like, say hacker X or criminal X goes and finds something pretty interesting. I mean, usually they're either going to sit on it by themselves and use it for their own doing, or some, I mean, it's kind of the middle ground, like there's bad guys and there's good guys, and then this middle ground where they'll do it and threaten them. It's kind of just, that's lukewarm that they're revealing the part, their part, but not, they're not, like, just sitting on it. They're trying to get their own money out of it. Like, a good guy would find something and release it quietly first. Like, all the guys I know that would find some bug in the software, they would first tell the company, hey, you have this. We have this buffer over this line of the code, and we test on this machine. Now, we're going to go public with this unless you want to keep it quiet and figure it out yourself. That's what happens to companies. They don't care. They say, oh, this is small. This is not going to do anything. They post it, and then they got the customers complaining, why has this happened to me?
Yeah, and they get all offended then, and they want to come prosecute you for finding it, you know? See, that's another catch-22 of reporting stuff, and again, that's a whole other topic for another show, too. You know, reporting that kind of stuff, you know, I agree with it. If I find something like that, I usually email them. If they respond or don't respond, you know, that's irrelevant. I did the right thing by contacting them. I will then follow it up by talking about it on the show or on RFA, which I've done before with exploits, writing articles about them, submitting them to 2600, to Binary Revolution, to any of the other magazines out there. You know, I report it. You know, I'm not total goody-two-shoes that I think I got to notify the proper authorities and give them time to fix it, blah, blah. I give them the customary 30 days. That's a standard accepted practice, and if they don't care enough to respond or they don't care enough to fix it, that's all on them. You know, I told them about it. I helped out. I did the right thing. I know there's other people out there and that disagree and think that you don't have to tell them at all. You know, if other people think that, that's fine. I don't really bother them either way, but my personal choice is you let them know. Do you extort them like this Zilterio guy is? The other thing is, who knows this guy? This could be, we have no way of knowing if this guy's claims are even true, and B, we have no idea of knowing whether these statistics, 34% only 34% are reported. We don't even know if that's true. That's also someone's opinion or based on some study, you know? So, yeah, that's questionable there, but still an interesting point. Number four, he says, any business with a website is a target. Well, that pretty much goes without saying, you know? Many of today's online thugs set up scanners to track unprotected websites and networks to attack, says Garfinkel, co-author of Web Security, Privacy, and Commerce. Some can scan hundreds or thousands of sites in a matter of seconds. Garfinkel's own site is protected by a firewall that can track how many times it's been scanned by potential intruders. One recent day, he counted 289,000 different scans, including 1,044 by the same would-be attacker. Once they find a vulnerable site, they set up their attack tools. Somebody adds, know that you could be a target. It doesn't matter what business you're in. Well, that just seems kind of silly. I think that's common sense tells you that. Anybody knows that if you go on the internet, or it just if you turn on your computer accessible by anywhere, whether it's by modem, by internet, by network, intranet, just the act of turning on your computer and opening it up for access is making your computer vulnerable. That just seems, you know, silly to even say. I think we all know that. The last thing he says, attackers will get bolder with blended threats. What is a blended threat? That's the fear of Sarah Gordon, senior research fellow at Symantec. How do you say that? Symantec? Symantec?
Symantec.
Symantec? I've heard it said so many ways. Symantec's Security Response Unit and an expert on the psychology of computer criminals. By blended threats, oh, she's going to tell me. She means break-ins combined with virus infections and other methods of destruction, all of which could take down companies' networks in a matter of minutes. 4 degrees, massive numbers of systems could be compromised, leading to huge nationwide outages. Fortunately, we haven't seen this happen. Yeah, sure you haven't. But I do believe it's a matter of when, not if. So much of the software on computers today is similar, he says, so a problem for one computer is likely to be replicated in others. Gordon adds that with mobile phones and other devices connecting networks to the internet, attackers have more entry points. That's true. I don't understand. They're acting like this blended threat is some wave of the future.
It's like going back to like for the old days of getting money. You're going to use a couple of different methods of making sure you're going to get your money.
But to me, it's always been multiple methods.
Yeah.
You find some exploit on the system that you can get in and get root access. Once you get root access, you go on and you write a little backdoor program. You put a Trojan horse on there. You make yourself an account on there. You put some kind of other program running on it or you add a server. You know, it's always been blended of threats. You know, I don't understand. That's not a new thing or some future wave. You know, it's a combination of attacks and a combination of methods to get in. It's not... Again, this might go back to that old myth that the newbie hackers of teach me how to hack. There's no magic button. Oh, here, I hacked a site, and that's it, the end. And the next wave is people are going to figure out that you have two buttons, and you do attack and get in, and then you have, I don't know, fuck up the system button or something.
It's like a game of chess.
Yeah, it's
and
all...
And most people think there's the ultimate move. There never is the ultimate move. There's always different moves. You got to change your moves for different people.
There's always an ultimate defense to match every ultimate move.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. There's just yeah. Every attack is a blended attack in my mind. But hey, who am I? I'm just a guy doing a radio show. Yeah. Anyway, I thought this again was just an interesting article to talk about. Inside the hacker mind, we've heard that before, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these were his interpretations and his view, the author's view and some others that he referenced in here, and a lot of it I actually have to agree with. I like the fact that he differentiated again, so that's why I'm bringing to light that there are people who seem to at least try to get it. They may miss a few things here and there, and that's where we come in to try to correct it and try to point those things out, and I think we've done that. So, I think our time's flown past, hasn't it? Wow. Well, I guess we better close it up for this episode. This is the first official episode of Binary Revolution Radio. So we would be remiss without again mentioning Dual Parallel and Radio Freak America. Got to give mad shout outs to him for teaching us a lot of how to do this and making RFA for so long now. They're up to episode 70. Make sure you check them out. They're on the same. They're on Rant Radio Mute.
No, of course, Logan 5, who puts out the best magazine that money can buy.
Yeah, all DDP members, you know, definitely shout out, because we've been talking about this for a while, getting this up and running. We've had a lot of great input. We had an opening from Bland Inquisitor to help opening the show. The opening themes. Oh, I got to mention this. Zerl, my man Zerl, made that opening theme, gave us permission to use that as our official theme music opening the show. So we definitely got to say thanks to him. My Broward 2600 meeting, if anybody's listening there, I got to give some shout-outs to them. Mute, I know your 2600 meeting.
They got battery, we got the fuck up, we got everyone there. All the people are pretty cool. I just love them all. They've always brought me good luck and everything whenever I show up to the meetings. It's always fun. Mm. Can't get enough.
Yep. Anybody we left out, will definitely appreciate the community in general. You know, we've got a lot of support from a lot of different people, not only on RFA, not necessarily for Binary Revolution Radio, but just in general. We got a lot of great people on the forums that really give a lot of feedback, and, you know, it has not turned too much into a lot of negativity and name-calling. I'm very happy with the community and the people we have, so I thank each and every one of you, and hopefully we'll continue to grow with that. Again, I mentioned it earlier, but if you have feedback, we'd love to hear from you. If you have, if you want to add to some of these topics, or you want to disagree, or call me a fucknut, or whatever you want to do, you can send me an email at letters@binrev.com, BINREV.com, and that's obviously, you can go there as the website as well. So we'll be putting up the older episodes and archiving them, so you can check that out. And I guess, did we leave anything out?
Other than same hack time.
Same hack channel. And we're going to close out with Zerl, Dedication to the Hackers. This is the Matrix remix of our opening theme. So enjoy, and we will see you next week.
This is dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. You know what I'm saying? If you hear this, I want you to bump this and do your dirt, dog. Do your dirt. You could fill a stadium with cats using shit cracked by radium. Liquid sky will never die. Before the crackers and the hackers, life was whacker. Software we could never stack for. We were floored by these evil hordes. All the best shit we could never afford. The internet at MP3, they set us free. I'm downloading Windows ME, right now I'm FTP. You bitches will never find me, because I'm everywhere, see. Yo, dog, you got something new? Hit me off on ICQ, I'll help you back and jive. I got some top-notch shit on iDrive. You shut one site down, we multiply. Like a phoenix from a different place, we rise. Then you got the squares. Yo, dude, you're stealing, don't you care? LOL, bitch, I got a terabyte of wares. I like my files sit, zip, or rare. I'll download 700 segments from 1,000 sites. I'll drink coffee, snort speed, I'll stay up all night. I'll hack your company site with black and white. Ghost ISPs, find me, please. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. The ones that set us free. Thanks, G, for setting us free. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled hoed. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange, you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAS, SIPs, SIPs. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Your encryption is primitive Egyptian. I'll do more with a 486 and a Flex Tour. We've won when the 6 billion got at once. And we tell each other how to get it on. Cyber armies and
the Pentagon were storming. I just found out who killed JFK. The smoking gun will have it within a day. All the lies even faster. Go check the name Truth on Napster. Digital disaster. The pricks will never find me in this matrix. A million keyboard voices all named Morpheus. This is dedicated to those who set me free. Got a buzz, you're always my cuz. Radium, if I could only say to them thanks. Callisto, you know, Utopia, and all my digital thugs. My net dons, my cyber gangsters, my wire warriors, my computer comrades. This is for you. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there, choice I leave to you.